This week in Manchester, we have shown this party is on the side of hard-working people, helping young people buy their own home, getting the long-term unemployed back to work, freezing fuel duty, backing marriage, cutting the deficit, creating jobs, creating wealth. Make no mistake, it is this party with the verve, energy and ideas to take our country forward, and I want to thank everyone here for the great week we've had. When we came to office, we faced a clear and daunting task: to turn our country around. In May 2010, the needle on the gauge was at crisis point. People were talking about our country in a way they hadn't done so for decades. But 3.5 years later, we are beginning to turn the corner. The deficit is falling, our economy is growing, the numbers of our fellow countrymen and women in work are rising. We are not there yet. Not by a long way. But my friends, we are on our way. And I want to thank the people who've done the most to get us this far. You, the British people, never giving up, working those extra hours, coping with those necessary cuts. And you, British business, you kept people on in the hard times. You invested before you knew for certain that things were getting better. Together, we are clearing up the mess that Labour left. But I have a simple question to the people in this hall and beyond it. Is that enough? Is it enough just to clear up Labour's mess and think, job done? Is it enough just to think that we fix what went wrong and that's enough? I say no. Not for me. This isn't job done, it is job begun. I didn't come into politics just to fix what went wrong, but to build something right. We in this party, we don't dream of deficits and decimal points and dry fiscal plans. Our dreams are about helping people to get on in life. Aspiration, opportunity, these are our words, these are our dreams. So today I want to talk about our one abiding mission. I believe it is the great Conservative mission, that as our economy starts to recover, we build a land of opportunity in our country today. Now, I know it will be tough. People will ask, have we got what it takes? Well, if you saw those pictures of me on the beach this summer in Cornwall, you'll know one thing, I've got the stomach for the fight. In his speech last week, Ed Miliband promised that he would never be photographed with his shirt off in public. And Ed, after hearing that speech, here's the deal. You keep your shirt on, I'll keep the lights on. Now, I know that we've got what it takes in this party. Some people say can't be done. Conservatives say, what is to stop us? They said we couldn't get terrorists out of our own country. Well, Theresa knew otherwise, and that's why Abu Qatada had his very own May Day this year. And didn't it feel good getting him on that plane? Some people said the NHS wasn't safe in our hands. Well, we knew otherwise. Who protected spending on the NHS? Not Labour, us. Who started the Cancer Drugs Fund? Not Labour, us. And by the way, who presided over mid-staffs? Patients left for so long without water they were drinking out of dirty vases. People's grandparents lying filthy and unwashed for days. Who allowed that to happen? Yes, it was Labour, and don't you dare lecture anyone on the NHS again. And of course, people say a lot of things about Europe. You'll never be able to veto an EU treaty. You'll never cut the EU budget. And if you did any of these things, you'd have absolutely no allies in Europe. Well, we proved them wrong. I vetoed that treaty. I got Britain out of the EU bailout scheme. And yes, I cut that budget. And in doing all this, we haven't lost respect. We have won allies to get powers back from Europe. And that is what we will do. And at the end of it, yes, we will give the British people their say in a referendum. That is our pledge. It will be your choice, in or out. And of course, we know what not some people, but one person said about us recently. You just heard the Russian official who said Britain is just a small island that no one pays attention to. Really? Let me just get this off my chest one more time. When the world wanted rights, who wrote Magna Carta? When they wanted representation, who built the first parliament? When they looked for compassion, who led the abolition of slavery? When they searched for equality, who gave women the vote? When their freedom was in peril, who offered blood, toil, tears, and sweat? And today, whose music do they dance to? Whose universities do they flock to? Whose football league do they watch? Whose example of tolerance, of people living together from every nation, every religion, young and old, straight and gay, whose example do they aspire to? I haven't even got onto the fact that this small island beat Russia in the Olympics last year. wait for it. Or, of course, that the biggest-selling vodka brand in the world isn't Russian, it's British. Smirnoff, made in Fife. So, yes. We may be a small island, but I tell you what, we're a great country. Obviously, having said all that, just don't expect me to go arm wrestling with Vladimir next time I see him. But I do want to make this serious point about our place in the world. Because following that vote on Syria in the House of Commons, some people said it was time for Britain to rethink our role. Well, I'm sorry, but I don't agree. If we shrunk from the world, we would be less safe and less prosperous here in the United Kingdom. The role we play, the organisations that we belong to, and yes, the fact that our defence budget remains the fourth largest in the world, all of this, it's not about national vanity, it's about our national interest. When British citizens, our fathers, mothers, daughters, when they're in danger, whether it's in the deserts of Algeria or the city of Nairobi, then combating international terrorism, it matters to us here. When five of the world's fastest growing economies are in Africa, then trading with Africa, and yes, helping Africa to develop with aid, that matters to us right here. And at the heart of all this work, the finest foreign secretary I could possibly have, William Hague. Yeah. And as you heard in that great speech just now from Ruth, around the world, we really do matter as a United Kingdom. England, Wales, Northern Ireland and Scotland. Now the date for the referendum has been set. The decision is for Scotland to make. All the arguments about the economy, about our currency, I believe they make an unanswerable case for the United Kingdom. But today I want a more simple message to go out to all the people of Scotland. From us here, in this hall, from this party, from this country, from England, and yes, from Wales and Northern Ireland too. And it is this. We want you to stay. We want us to stick together. Think of all the things we've achieved together, all the things we can do together. The nations as one, our kingdom united. For 12 years now, men and women from all parts of these islands have been serving their country in Afghanistan. Next year, the last of our combat troops will be coming home, having trained up the Afghans to look after their own country. More than a decade of war, sacrificed beyond measure from the finest and bravest armed forces in the world. And I want us today to stand, to raise the roof right here, right now, to show just how proud of those men and women all of us are. So we in this room, we are a team. And this year we said goodbye to one of our team. Margaret Thatcher made our country stand tall again at home and abroad, rescuing our economy, giving power to our people, spreading home ownership, creating work, winning the Cold War, saving the Falklands. An amazing record. I was sitting next to her at a dinner once, and I was, as ever, with her, a little bit nervous. As ever, she was totally charming, and she put me at ease. And after a while, I said to her, Margaret, if you had your time in government again, is there anything you'd do differently? And quick as a flash, she looked at me and said, you know what? I think I did pretty well the first time round. Well, I think we can all agree on that, and we can all agree on this. She was the greatest peacetime Prime Minister our country has ever had. Margaret Thatcher had an almighty mess to clear up when she came to office, and so did we. And we must never forget what we found. The biggest budget deficit in our peacetime history, the deepest recession since the Second World War. But it wasn't just the debt and the deficit that Labour left. It was who got hurt. Millions coming here from overseas, while millions of British people were left on welfare. The richest paying lower tax rates than their cleaners. Unsustainable debt-fueled banks booming, while manufacturing withered away. The North falling further behind. Towns where a quarter of people lived on benefits. Schools where 8 out of 10 children didn't get 5 decent GCSEs. Yes, they were famously intensely relaxed about people getting filthy rich, but tragically, they were also intensely relaxed about people staying stuck on welfare year after year, intensely relaxed about children leaving school without proper qualifications so they couldn't hope to get a job at the end of it. That was it. That was what they left. The casino economy meets the welfare society, meets the broken education system. A country for the few, built by the so-called party of the many. And Labour, we will never let you forget it. These past few years have been a real struggle. But what people want to know is this. Was the struggle worth it? And here's the honest answer. The struggle will only be worth it if we as a country finish the job we've started. And finishing the job means understanding this. Our economy may be turning the corner, and of course that's great, but we still haven't finished paying for Labour's debt crisis. If anyone thinks that's over, done and dealt with, They are living in a fantasy land. The country's debt crisis, created by Labour, is not over. After 3 years of cuts, we still have one of the biggest budget deficits anywhere in the world. We are still spending more than we earn. We still need to earn more, and yes, our government still needs to spend less. Now, I see that Labour have stopped talking about the debt crisis, and now they talk about the cost of living crisis, as if one wasn't directly related to the other. And if you want to know what happens if you don't deal with a debt crisis and how it affects the cost of living, just go and ask the Greeks. So finishing the job means sticking to our course until we've paid off all of Labour's deficit, not just some of it. And yes, let us run a surplus so this time we fix the roof when the sun is shining, as George said in that brilliant speech on Monday. To abandon deficit reduction now would throw away all the progress that we've made. It would put us back to square one. And unbelievably, that is what Labour now want to do. How did they get us into this mess? Too much spending, too much borrowing, too much debt. And what did they propose last week? More spending, more borrowing, more debt. They have learnt nothing, literally nothing, from the crisis they created. But finishing the job is about more than clearing up the mess we were left. It means building something better in its place. In place of the casino economy, one where people who work hard can really get on. In place of the welfare society, one where no individual is written off. And in place of the broken education system, one that gives every child the chance to rise up and succeed. Our economy, our society, welfare, schools, all reformed, all rebuilt, with one aim, one mission in mind, to make this country at long last and for the first time ever a land of opportunity for all. For all. So it makes no difference whether you live in the north or the south, whether you're black or white, a man or a woman, the school you went to, the background you have, who your parents were. What matters is the effort you put in. And if you put in the effort, you'll have the chance to make it. That is what the land of opportunity means. That is what finishing the job means. Now, of course, I know that in politics there are others talking about these things. But wishing for something, caring about something, that is not enough. You can't conjure up a dynamic economy, a strong society, or fantastic schools, all with a stroke of the minister's pen. It takes a mixture of hard work, common sense, and above all, the right values. When the left say, you can't expect too much from the poorest kids, don't ask too much from people on welfare, business is the problem, not the solution, here in this party, we must say that is just plain wrong. If you expect nothing of people, that does nothing for them. Yes, you must help people, but you help people by putting up ladders that they can climb through their own efforts. You don't help children by dumbing down education. You help them by pushing them hard. Good education is not about a quality of outcomes, but bringing out the best in every child. You don't help people by leaving them stuck on welfare, but by helping them stand on their own two feet. Why? Because the best way out of poverty is work and the dignity that brings. We know that profit, wealth creation, tax cuts, enterprise, these are not dirty elitist words. They're not the problem. They really are the solution, because it's not government that creates jobs, it's businesses. It's businesses that get wages in people's pockets, food on their tables, hope for their families, and yes, success for our country. There is no shortcut. There is no shortcut to a land of opportunity. No quick fix, no easy way to do it. You build it business by business, school by school, person by person, patiently, practically, painstakingly. And underpinning it all is that deep instinctive belief that if you trust people, if you give them the tools, they will succeed. This party at its heart is about big people, strong communities, responsible businesses, a bigger society, not a bigger state. It's how we've been clearing up the mess, and it's how we're going to build something better in its place. So let us stick with it and finish the job that we've started. Now, a land of opportunity must start in our economy. The chance to get a decent job, to start a business, to own a home, and at the end of it all, more money in your pocket. To get decent jobs for people, you've got to recognize some fundamental economic facts. We are in a global race today. No one owes us a living. Last week, our ambition to compete in this global race was airily dismissed as a race to the bottom, that it means competing with China on sweatshops and India on low wages. No, those countries are becoming our customers. And we've got to compete with California on innovation, Germany on high-end manufacturing, Asia on finance and technology. And here's something else you need to recognize about this race. The plain fact is this. All those global companies that employ lots of people, they can set up anywhere in the world. They can go to Silicon Valley, they can go to Berlin, and yes, they can come here to Manchester. And these companies base their decisions on some simple things, like the tax rates you pay in each country. So if those taxes are higher here than elsewhere, they don't come here. And if they don't come here, we don't get those jobs. Do you get that, Labour? British people don't get those jobs. Last week, Labour proposed to put up corporation tax on our biggest and most successful employers. That is just about the most damaging, nonsensical, twisted economic policy you could possibly come up with, and we will fight it every step of the way. Now, in my job, I get to visit some amazing factories. One of my favourites is Jaguar Land Rover. Not only because they let me get in a car all on my own and drive around quite dangerously, actually, better than when I went to the Cowley Works and I drove the millionth Mini off the production line. It was a huge treat. The only trouble was when I got to the end, I actually turned the wrong way. Although you'll be relieved to know on this occasion I did actually turn right rather than left. But the reason I find these places so fulfilling is because I meet people there who are so incredibly proud of their work and their craftsmanship. The fact that what they're making sells around the world, that it's the best of British design and engineering. So when Ed Miliband talks about the face of big business, I think about the faces of these hard-working people. Labour is effectively saying to their employers, we want to put up your taxes. Don't come here, stick your jobs, take them somewhere else. Look, I know bashing business might play to a Labour audience, but it is crazy for our country. So if Labour's plan for jobs is to attack business, ours is to back business. Regulation down, taxes cut for businesses large and small, a new industrial policy that looks to the future, the green jobs, the aerospace jobs, the life science jobs. We've made a good start. 1.4 million new private sector jobs created since we came to office. And yes, that is 1.4 million reasons to finish the job we've started. In a land of opportunity, it must become easier to start your own business. You heard from Jermaine, an incredibly inspiring story this morning. And I say to all those people who strike out on their own, who sit there night after night, checking and double-checking whether the numbers stack up, I say to them, I have so much respect for you. You are national heroes. I will never forget watching Samantha when she set up her first small business, winning the first customer, sorting out the cash flow, that magic moment when she got her first business cards printed. I was incredibly proud of her then, and I'm incredibly proud of you now. People setting up new businesses need finance. That's why we brought in the start-up loans. They need their taxes cut, and we're doing that. Up to £2,000 off your national insurance bill for every small business in our country. And it is working. Let me tell you how many businesses started up in Britain since the election. Over 300,000. And that is 300,000 more reasons to finish the work that we've started. In a land of opportunity, we must make sure that more people are able to own a home of their own. You know that old saying, your home is your castle? Well, for most young people today, their home is their landlord's. Generation Y is starting to become Generation Why Do We Bother? Millions of them stuck in rental accommodation when they're desperate to buy. I met a couple on Sunday, Emily and James. They both had decent jobs, but because they didn't have rich parents, they couldn't get a big enough deposit to buy a house. And let me tell you where I met them. In their new home, built with our Help to Buy mortgage scheme. It was still half built, but they showed me where the kitchen was going to be. Outside was rubble all over the ground, but they'd already bought the lawnmower. And they talked about how excited they were to be spending a first Christmas in a home of their own. My friends, that is what we're about. And this, the party of aspiration, is going to finish the job on home ownership that we started. In a land of opportunity, there's another thing people need, and it's the most important of all: more money in their pockets. These have been difficult years. People have found it hard to make ends meet. That is why we froze the council tax, why we're freezing fuel duty, but we need to do more. I know that. Now, we heard Labour's ideas to help with the cost of living. Taxes on banks they want to spend 10 times over. Promising free childcare and then saying, actually, you've got to pay for it yourself. And an energy promise they admitted 24 hours later they might not be able to keep. It is all sticking plasters and quick fixes cobbled together for the TV cameras. Red Ed and his Blue Peter economy. I tell you what, Britain can do better than that lot. To raise living standards, to really raise living standards, you need to do some major things. You need to cut the deficit to keep mortgage rates low. You need to grow your economy, get people jobs. And yes, you need to cut people's taxes. I want people to keep more of their own money to spend as they choose. We have already cut the taxes of 25 million hardworking people. And yes, that is 25 million more reasons to finish the job we've started. And while we're on taxes, let me get one thing straight. I don't know whether you caught the Lib Dem conference a couple of weeks ago. No, I missed most of it too, but they were trying to take all the credit for these tax cuts, as though they've been twisting our arm to do it. Well, memo to the Lib Dems. You lecturing us on low taxes is like us lecturing you on pointless constitutional tinkering. We are Tories. We believe in low taxes, and believe me, we will keep on cutting the taxes of hard-working people in our country. And here in Manchester, let me say this. When I say a land of opportunity for all, I mean everyone, north and south. This country, our country, has been too London-centric for far too long. And that is why we need a new north-south railway line. The fact is this: the West Coast Main Line is almost full. We have to build a new railway, and the choice is between another old-style Victorian one or a high-speed one. Just imagine if someone had said, no, we can't build the M1 or the Severn Bridge. Imagine how that would be hobbling our economy today. HS2 is about bringing North and South together in our national endeavour. Because think of what more we could do with the pistons firing in all parts of our economy. With its wind and wave power, let's make the Humber the centre of clean energy. With its resources under the ground, let's make Blackpool the centre of Europe for the shale gas industry. With its brains and research centres, let us make right here Manchester the advanced leader in world materials. We're building an economy for the north and the south, embracing new technologies, producing things, selling them to the world. So make no mistake about who is looking forward in British politics today. We will leave the 1970s-style socialism to others. It is us. We are the party of the future. Now, we're making progress, and you know how I know that? It's every week at Prime Minister's Questions. There was a time when I'd look across and see Ed Balls, and there he was, shouting his head off, doing this with his hands, screaming that the economy was flatlining, all with such glee. But recently he's gone a little quiet. Could it be because there was no double dip? Could it be because the economy is now growing? Well, I've got a gesture of my own for Ed Balls. Don't worry. It's not a rude one. Jobs are up. Construction is up. Manufacturing is up. Inward investment, retail sales, home building, business confidence, consumer confidence, all these things are up. And to anyone who wants to talk our economy down, let me tell you this. Since this conference began, over 100,000 jet planes have soared into the sky on wings made here in Britain. Every single day in this country, over 4,000 cars are coming off the production line, ready to be exported around the globe. Last year, Britain overtook France as Germany's top trading partner. Not bad for a nation of shopkeepers. And that's the point. Exports to China are up. Exports to Brazil are up. Exports to India, Russia, Thailand, South Korea, Australia, all up. So let us never forget the cast iron law of British politics. Yes, the oceans can rise, empires can fall, but one thing will never, ever change. It is Labour that wrecks our economy, and it is we Conservatives who clear it up. A land of opportunity means educating our children. And I mean all our children. It's okay for the children who have parents reading them stories every night, and that's great. But what about the ones at the back of the class, in the chaotic home, in the home of the drug addict or the alcoholic? We need these children, and frankly, they need us. That is why, 3 years ago, one man came into the department of education. There he is, Michael Gove. He has this huge belief in excellence and this dynamic energy. He is a sort of cross between Mr. Chips and the Duracell bunny. But let us look at the results. Let's see what the bunny has achieved. More students studying proper science. More children learning a foreign language. He's ended dumbing down in exams. For the first time, children in our schools will learn the new language of computer coding. And we are sending a very clear message to our children. If you fail English and maths GCSE, you're going to have to take and retake them again until you pass. Why? Because as I tell my own children, there is not a job in the world where you don't need to spell and add up properly. Unless, of course, you want to join Labour's front bench economic team, but it's not a career I'd recommend. But ultimately, and Michael understands this so deeply, really raising standards means innovation, it means choice, it means giving passionate people the freedom to run our schools. You heard about it this morning from Zantain. And that's what free schools are all about. I will never forget sitting in the classroom at Perry Beaches 3, that's the next school this brilliant chain has set up, on the first day of their term this year. I met a mum there who said to me, "This is what I've dreamed of for my child. proper uniforms, high standards, really high expectations. This is going to give my child a great start in life. When Michael Howard asked me what job I would like in the Shadow Cabinet, I said education, because what Michael is doing now, these are the kinds of thing I came into politics to help bring about. They are magnificent, these schools. It's great what we're doing. We must keep it up. And you know what is extraordinary about these free schools? Labour's official policy is to be against them. But get this, there are Labour MPs who are backing them in their own local areas. And not just any Labour MPs. I promise I'm not making this up. The Shadow Education Secretary, Stephen Twigg, has backed a free school in his own city. Let me give you a day in the life of Twigg. At 8 a.m, I'm on national radio saying free schools are terrible. But come the afternoon, I'm back home with my placard shouting, what do we want? A free school. When do we want it? Now. Unbelievable. But isn't it always the way with the left? They don't like privilege unless, of course, it's for their own children. Well, we in this party, we must be ambitious for all our children, and we must finish the job we started. We've now got technical colleges run by great companies like JCB. I say let's have one of those colleges in every single major town in our country. We've had 1 million apprenticeships start under this government, and you heard this morning from Samantha. I say let's set a new expectation. As you leave school, you have a choice. Go to university or do an apprenticeship. And while we've got children leaving school, not able to read, write, or add up properly at the end of primary school, let us set this ambition for our country. Let us eliminate illiteracy and give every one of those children a chance. And my friends, as we do all this, we must remember the most vulnerable children of all. There are thousands of children every year who grow up in homes where nappies and bedclothes go unchanged and where their cries of pain go unheard. These children just need the most basic opportunity of all, a loving family. 2 years ago at our conference, I told you about our determination to speed up adoption. And this past year, we saw record numbers finding permanent, loving homes. 4,000 children adopted. And that is 4,000 more reasons to finish the job that we have started. And as we keep on with this, we should remember who is on the front line. I have to take some tough decisions in my job, but none are as tough as whether to break up a family and rescue a child or try and stitch that family back together. Social work is a noble and vital calling. I will never forget, after our son Ivan was born, a social worker sitting patiently in our kitchen and telling us the sort of help that we might need. This government has helped to get some of the brightest graduates into teaching, and we have now pledged to do the same for social work. So let us now, in this hall, hear it for Britain's social workers who do such a vital job in our country today. The land of opportunity needs one final thing, welfare that really works. We know how badly things went wrong. Our fellow citizens, working every hour of every day to put food on the table, ask this: why should my taxes go to people who could work but don't? Or to those who live in homes that hard-working people could never afford? Or to people who have no right to be here in the first place? And I say this to the British people. You have every right to be angry about a system that is unfair and unjust, and that is why we're sorting it out. We have capped welfare, capped housing benefit. We insisted on new rules so that if you reject work, you lose benefits. And let us be absolutely clear. As Boris said in that great speech yesterday, the problems in our welfare system and the problems in our immigration system, they are inextricably linked. If we don't get our people back to work, we shouldn't be surprised if millions want to come here to work. But we must act on immigration directly too, and we are. Capping migration, clamping down on the bogus colleges, and when the immigration bill comes before Parliament, we're going to make sure that some simple and fair things that should have always been the case are now set in stone. If you are not entitled to our free National Health Service, you should pay for it. If you have no right to be here, you cannot rent a flat or a house, not off the council, not off anyone else. When you are a foreign prisoner fighting deportation, you should pay your own legal bills. And if you appeal, you must do it from your own country after you've been deported, not from here. And on these huge national problems, we are making progress. Immigration has come down. On welfare, not only are there more people in work than ever before, but the number of households where no one works is at its lowest rate since records began. And I want to thank the most determined champion of social justice that this country has, Ian Duncan Smith. Ian understands that this isn't about fixing systems, it's about saving lives. And that is why we've got to finish the job we've started. There are still over 1 million young people not in education, employment, or training. And today it's still possible to leave school, to sign on, find a flat, start claiming housing benefit, and opt for a life on benefits. Isn't it time for bold action here? We should ask, as we write our next manifesto, if that option should really exist at all. Instead, we should give young people a clear and positive choice. Go to school, go to a college, do an apprenticeship, get a job. But just choose the dole. We've got to offer them something better than that. And let no one paint ideas like this as callous. Think about it. With your own children, would you dream of just leaving them to their own devices, not getting a job, not training, nothing? No. You'd nag and push and guide and do anything to get them on their way, and so must we. So this is what we want to see. Everyone under 25 earning or learning. And we know. We know that on this, as on everything else, Labour will fight us. But we must remember, we are giving people real opportunities. I've had people to say to me, I'm back on my feet, I feel worthwhile. One wrote to me saying, now I can tell my son that his dad really does something. This is what our party is about. We don't patronise people, put a benefit cheque on their hand and just pat them on the head. We look people in the eye as equals and say, yes, you've been down, but you're not out. You can do it. You have it in you. We will give you that chance. And that is why we can say today that it is this party that is fighting for all those who are written off by Labour. It is this party that is for the many, not the few. Yes, the land of despair was Labour, but the land of hope is Tory. So we have done some big things to transform our country. But we need to finish the job we've started. We need to go further, to do more for hard-working people, to give more children a chance, back more businesses, help create more jobs. And I'm clear about how that job will best get done. It requires a strong government with a clear mandate that is accountable for what it promises and, yes, what it delivers. And I want to tell everyone here what that means. When that election comes, we won't be campaigning for a coalition. We will be fighting head, heart and soul for a majority Conservative government, because that is what our country needs. You know, there are some strange moments in this job. When I was just a few months in, a member of my staff rushed into the office and said, Prime Minister, you've really made it. They are burning an effigy of you on television. Actually, the first time it happened, they didn't spell my name right. They don't make that mistake anymore. But you don't do this to be popular. You do it because you love your country. I do the best I can. And for me, it comes back to some simple things. Country first. Do what's decent. Think long term. There's an old story that's told about a great hall in Oxford near my constituency. For hundreds of years, it stood there, held up with vast oak beams. And in the 19th century, those beams needed replacing. And you know what they found? 500 years before, someone had thought, those beams, they'll need replacing one day. And so they had planted some oak trees. Just think about that. Centuries had passed, Columbus had reached America, gravity had been discovered, and when those oaks were needed, they were ready. Margaret Thatcher once said, "We are in the business of planting trees for our children and grandchildren, or we have no business being in politics at all." That is what we are doing today. Not just making do and mending, but making something better. Since I got to my feet, almost 100 children have been born across our country. Children of wealth and children of none. Children of parents in work and children of parents out of work. For every single one of those newborn babies, let us pledge today that we will build something better. A land of opportunity. A country built on that enduring principle, seared in our hearts, that if you work hard, save, play by the rules, and do your fair share, then nothing, nothing should stand in your way. A new economy, a new welfare system, a new set of values in our schools. Not just fixing the mess we inherited, but building something better. We've got a year and a half till that election. A year and a half until Britain makes a choice. Move forward to something better or go back to something worse. But I believe that if this party fights with all we have, then this country will make the right choice. Because we always have before. Whenever we've had the choice of giving in to some shabby compromise or pushing forward to something better, we've said this is Great Britain, the improbable hero of history, the country that doesn't give in, that doesn't give up, that knows there's no such thing as destiny, only our determination to succeed. So I look forward to our future, and I'm confident. There are battles to fight, but beyond this hall are the millions of hard-working people who renew the great in Great Britain every day. In the way they work, in the way they give, in the way they raise their families. These are the people we have alongside us. Together, we have made it this far. Together, we will finish the job we've started. And together, we will build that land of opportunity. Thank you.